ਜਮਮ ਪਹਾਇਆ ਮਤ ਤੀਜਾਂ ਵੀਤਮ ਅਭੀ ਕਰਤੁਮ ਅਵਪਲੂਤ ਵਥਾ ਸਹ ਜੀਤਾਰਥ ਚਰਨੋ ਭਯਯਾਚ ਲਬ੍ਧੁ ਹਰਿਰਿਵਾਹੰ ਤੁਮ ਇਭੰ ਤਤੋ ਤਰੀਯਾ
Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time in a sporting spirit, like a friend's fight with another friend. Duryodhana criticized Bhishmadev, alleging that he was reluctant to kill Arjun because of paternal affection. A Kshatriya cannot tolerate insults on the principle of fighting. Bhishmadev therefore promised that the next day he would kill all 5 Pandavas with special weapons made for the purpose. Duryodhana was satisfied and he kept the arrows with him to be delivered the next day during the fight. By tricks, it's Krishna's trick, Arjun took the arrows from Duryodhana, and Bhishmadev could understand that this was the trick of Lord Krishna. So he took a vow that the next day Krishna would have to take up weapons himself, otherwise his friend Arjun would die. In the next day's fighting, Bhishmadev fought so violently that both Arjun and Krishna were in trouble. Arjun was almost defeated. The situation was so tense that he was about to be killed by Bhishmadev the very next moment. At that time, Lord Krishna wanted to please his devotee Bhishma by keeping Bhishma's promise, which was more important than his own. Seemingly, he broke his own promise. He promised before the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra that he would remain without weapons and would not use his strength for either of the parties. But to protect Arjun, he got down from the chariot, took up the wheel of the chariot, and hurriedly rushed at Bhishmadev in an angry mood, as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He dropped his covering cloth on the way, and out of great anger, he did not know that he had dropped it. Bhishmadev at once gave up his weapons and stood to be killed by Krishna, his beloved lord. The fighting of the day was thus ended at that very moment, and Arjun was saved. Of course, there was no possibility of Arjuna's death because the Lord himself was on the chariot. But because Bhishmadev wanted to see Lord Krishna take up some weapon to save his friend, the Lord created the situation, making Arjun's death imminent. He stood before Bhishmadev to show him that his promise was fulfilled and that he had taken it. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of love stories, one after the other. And each love story is so unique. The plot is unique, it's different in every situation. Each character is unique, and there's one person that is constant, and that is Krishna. Krishna is the constant person in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but this reciprocation which each of his devotees is very, very unique. It's very intimate. It's very personal. And so this is what we're seeing here. Every day we have been hearing some very nice realizations of different devotees who have been speaking and who have been contributing in the audience. And it's just been so nice to hear the glories of Vishnudev. And so we continue to hear his glories. Glories means his love for the Supreme Lord. It's like every day there's a layer that is peeled and we get more insight with the heart of Vishnudev. So this morning is such a special verse here. This verse, the subject matter is in the first phrase, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise. That's the phrase, the real subject matter. And then decorating it, so to speak, or the meditation. He got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment. So I'll be concentrating on fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his promise. We've been hearing about Bhishmadev, and we kind of all know the story of Bhishmadev. And here Prabhupada is giving, we just heard the description about this vow that Bhishmadev took. But we know Bhishmadev's life is all about his vow. Actually, for Kshatriyas, Srila Nanda was talking about yesterday, what was Kshatriyas like and how they behaved and how the war was taking place. And so Kshatriyas, they had certain codes. And for Kshatriyas to keep a vow, that was their honor. To take a vow and to keep it. Because to not keep a vow is dishonor. It's worse than death. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. For when he's telling preaching to Arjuna, he says, Kirtin, Maranada, Kirichati. Dishonor is worse than death. And so you see that in history of the Kshatriyas, one that came to my mind was Dasharath Maharaj. Dasharath Maharaj, he had given two boons to his wife. We know the story. And at a particular time, KK asked for that. And she asked for Ram to be banished. For Ram to be banished. So either he keeps his vow or he lets Ram go. But Ram was dearer to Dasharath more than his life. But he didn't want to let go or be a dishonor to his family, to dynasty. What everybody is going to say, this is what Dasharath did. So he kept his vow. But what happened? Ram left and then to the forest, and Dasharath left his body. So you see the example there of the importance of keeping a vow and what happens when you don't keep a vow in a situation. For one who did keep a vow, he left his body because his most dear object of his life went away from him, in separation. So Bhishmadev's life was, in his case, even his name is Bhishma for the terrible vow that he took. So his whole life was centered around his vow, the terrible vow he got. His life was centered around his vow, and even his death, so to speak, was the choice of his, that he could give up his life any time, was also because of the vow he took. So here it is, Bhishmadev. What is he saying? He's saying, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise. So fulfilling his desire of what? That I am going to kill Arjuna today. Unless Krishna will take up weapons and to save his friend. Now for us, sometimes we may find it hard to relate to certain things because vows don't really mean so much to us nowadays. Even if we can take vows at initiation, sometimes we are not able to follow it through. So yeah, vows are not a big thing. But the point I want to make that how it was a big thing, and for us to understand how Krishna, how closely Krishna is reciprocating with Bhishma in regards to his vow. If, let's say, if we have somebody had a son, and the son was very, very dear. Naturally, for a parent, a child is very dear. Probably the dearest object for a parent is one's child. So if this person had a friend, and this friend saved his dearest object, let's say from drowning, how indebted would you feel towards that person? How do you feel so grateful, you feel so indebted, like you wouldn't know what to say that this person saved your child. But let me give you a further example. Let's go a little deeper in what this verse is saying here. Let's say your friend had a child as well. You have a child, and your friend has a child. You have a very deep relationship with your friend. A situation happens where your friend, at the expense of saving his child who was also drowning, saves your child. This is what's happening here. Bhishma Devi is saying that he's saying to Krishna that you have broken your own promise to fulfill my promise. You have saved my child at the expense of saving your own child. How would you feel towards that person? I'd like the audience to give me one word feeling. How you would feel towards your friend. One word feeling. Yes? Love. Love. Any other feelings? Indebted. You feel indebted. You feel indebted. It's like there's practically no words. Any other feeling that you would feel? Incredible gratitude. Any other feelings? Sorry? Surrender. You feel like you want to give everything to that person. Any other feelings? That's right. You're feeling you want to give everything. So you're willing to give in, you're willing to give your own child to this person, to your friend. In other words, there are no words. There are no words. How you may feel towards that person. You feel humbled. You would feel like, wow, this person loves me so much. This person loves me so much that he's willing, he let go of his own child and he's saving my child. You would know, you would just feel so humble. You feel so much love. You would not know what to do. You feel so indebted, so grateful. You're willing to give your own child to that friend of yours for him doing what he did for you. And this is what Bhishma Dev is saying. He's saying that you fulfill my desire and sacrifice your own promise to fulfill my desire. this is how Krishna reciprocates with his devotee. The reciprocation is what? What has Bhishma Dev given to him? In one sense, Bhishma Dev hasn't given him anything. Krishna is the one who gives us everything. But Bhishma Dev has given his heart to Krishna, and Krishna is giving more. Krishna is always the winner, except when it comes to Radharani, but Krishna is always the winner. How much Krishna gives to us, we can never reciprocate with him. And so, how does this, we read the Bhagavatam, we see these great souls expressing how they're feeling. Bhishma Dev is just seeing this vision in front of his eyes as he's leaving his body. He's clearly seeing that he even dropped his outer garment on the way. The outer garment for a Kshatriya is a big thing. That's the whatever you call it for the Kshatriyas. And what's that? Armor. Yeah, their royalty, their so he even dropped that and he didn't even realize that. So does that happen with Bhishma Dev only? Or only the people in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna reciprocates with his devotee uniquely? And that's the point that I want to bring here, is that he very, in a very customized way, for each one of us, he reciprocates with us. So while I was meditating on this verse, I was thinking, okay, so how does Krishna reciprocate with me? What does that mean, uniquely, custom-made? Well, according to our desires, or according to our personality, or, you know, just various things, our situation. Krishna arranges everything uniquely. So the example that came to my mind, and I will give a comparison of two people, how he together with me, arrange things according to my nature and Seshakuru's nature. I hope, I mean, I didn't ask his permission, but that's totally fine. Both of us had a very similar situation of how we joined. Very similar. I didn't realize that until I was thinking this. When he joined, when he saw the devotees in Albany, and after associating with them some time, he thought, he desired that this is what he wants to do with his life. And so, I guess he told his parents, and the parents weren't very happy, and actually when he was living in the apartment, his mother and aunt came to his apartment and pleaded that he doesn't join this movement, this religious thing. Can't he just join his own Christian background or something? Anyway, so then he heard his mother and aunt, and he decided not to go. But the calling, when Krishna plays his flute, you know what happens? It's just like, you just can't hold it. And so, I don't know how long that happened after, maybe a couple of weeks or a couple of months, I don't know. He said, I have to do this. So then, he went to his father. And he said, told his father on a one-to-one, man-to-man, father-son, that, you know, I have to do this. And so his father said, I understand, son. You have to do that. Okay. So his father took him to the airport and said, okay, good luck. And he was off to Washington, D.C. It's kind of thing that you just think exactly, it's just custom-made for him. You know, if you know him, if you know Seshu Prabhu, it's tomorrow, ethical, you know, everything to be done properly. And so, Krishna made the arrangement to plan everything just perfect according to his psychophysical nature. I had a similar situation. And this is Krishna. We're talking about Krishna here. How Krishna is just so unique. In my case, same thing happened. I said I wanted to join. The first thing I get, nobody came and talked to me and said, you know, I just got a slap on my face. How dare you do that? And I got locked in the house. Yeah, and that was my dear brother, Varuna Das. And then locked the door of the house, locked me in the house. Progression happened in Ireland. And then after some time, I guess they realized that they realized that I was still interested. I pretended I wasn't interested, but then I was telling them lies or whatever. So they realized that I was still interested, so they got my mother to come from India to help with the situation. So then I was also very good, like Sush. I told my mom, this is what I want to do with my life. And she said, no, you do that after you get married, after you finish your studies, etc., etc. I'm like, okay. But no, I wanted to do that. I still wanted to do that. But she realized that nothing was changing, so she took my books away. Knowledge. Screws you up, you know. And so she took my books away. But that didn't take away my desire to join. So, no, I couldn't ask my mother to take me to the airport. Because I knew I couldn't join in Dublin, because I knew that if I joined in Dublin, she's just going to come and get me away. So I realized that I need to do something big. So I ran away. So I couldn't ask it, Mom, I want to go to the temple in America, and so could you take me to the airport? No, I couldn't ask her. So I had to run away. And I ran away from Ireland to America in the middle of the night. The discussion here is uniqueness. Both our situations were similar, but how Krishna arranged his situation is like how he is. And he arranged my situation with how I am, which is whatever, you know, some excitement, some, you know, like what? '82. And both the situations were exactly like he went in the plane and he was feeling teary-eyed, and I was in the plane here and I was crying like anything, knowing both of us were feeling that both our lives previous are gone and this is going to be a new life. But how Krishna arranges our life according to us. And my point being telling the story is that we, each one of us, if we look into our lives, we would be able to come out and say, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise. We would be able to say that how Krishna has been in my life so many times. Krishna has personally been there for me, for who I am. He custom makes everything for who I am. And when you see that Krishna is doing that, we should collect all these memories in a treasure box. So probably every day, if we really think about it, every day Krishna is there helping us in our lives. And so we keep these, at least the big instances that have happened in our lives, we should keep them in the memory box. Go through that treasure now and then. Feel inspired by thinking, wow, Krishna, you did this. Oh, Krishna, you did this. Oh, Krishna, you did this. And how would you feel? You will feel like all those things that you were saying. You will feel indebted. You will feel love. You feel love towards Krishna. I mean, isn't that what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have towards Krishna? Isn't that why Srila Prabhupada had read Krishna book all day long on Janmashtami in 1972, I'm told? devotees were, sannyasis were, you know, nodding and, you know, their dandas were falling, wake up, and but Prabhupada was just relishing Krishna book. He wanted all of us to hear Krishna book. Why? Because he wants us to have love for Krishna. He wants us to have love for Krishna under his guidance. We follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, go according to his guidance, see what he has written in his books, hear what he has written in the purports about Krishna. It's just amazing. Amazing how things that he sometimes writes in this purports that are, you know, for each devotee, different things are captivating. For me, it's captivating where Prabhupada writes that Krishna is his like in Narada Muni's, when Narada Muni is talking about something here, I'll just read it. So captivating. He says here, saying, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart, as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. So we see that here in the translation, when Prabhupada reveals something about Krishna, he says, it is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct. And the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology. Because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology of the Absolute Lord. What a beautiful thing Prabhupada is revealing to us about Krishna's thinking, his psychology. Is revealing Krishna's psychology. So yes, this is how Krishna is, that we shouldn't think in any way that, why would Krishna do that for me? Why would Krishna do that? You know? It's not about me. It's about Krishna. Krishna's nature never changes. It's absolute. So what the reciprocation he's giving to Bhishma Dev, where he's loving, he's kind, he's sacrificing his own promise for his devotee, that's his nature. That's his nature, no matter who is in front of him, even if it's a demon. He gives him liberation. So, of course, Krishna is going to reciprocate with us, and he will do it uniquely. And the idea, the point is that we have to see this, see that. We just covered last month before the last chapter in about Queen Kunti, and it's so nice to hear what Queen Kunti is saying. One of the verses, she says so many verses in the glorification of Krishna, but there is one verse that she describes about herself, about her life. She says, my dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. How uniquely Krishna is actually reciprocated with Kunti. What was Kunti's whole life about? From very young age, when she got married, she lost her husband. Her protection was gone. She had no protection. And the people who were meant to give her protection in her joint family, they were ready to kill her. So she had no protection. She had no protection. And so who is he saying? Who is she saying that gave her protection? Was Krishna. Here's a single woman. Every single woman, single mother, can take solace from here, that Krishna will reciprocate with you in your situation. Kunti's prayers are there. She's saying her own personal prayers, that this is how you were there for me. So, meaning that she needed protection, and her prayers are about protection. You gave me protection. Vishwadev's life was about vows. And Krishna reciprocated in that way. And he's acknowledging it. Can you imagine if your friend did do that for you? He saved your child instead of his own. And you say, well, I really did appreciate that he saved my child, but I'm sure it's not because he loves me. Or maybe it was just by accident. Maybe his son was dying anyway, and then he just kind of saved mine. I mean, Bhishmadev could clearly say, and we've been hearing in classes, actually, I think Shyam Kishore was saying, he was amazed to see how many times Bhishmadev mentions Arjuna. He refers to Krishna as friend of Arjuna. He refers to Arjuna in maybe two verses before about in the obedience to command of his friend Lord Krishna enter the arena. He mentions Arjuna a few times while he's leaving his body. Bhishmadev could clearly say here that, well, Krishna, this is interesting, he doesn't mention Arjuna in this verse, but he could have clearly said that actually Krishna didn't save, wasn't trying to fulfill my promise. Krishna was just saving Arjuna, and therefore he got up to take his wheel to protect Arjuna. It didn't have anything to do with my promise. He could have said that. He could have thought that way. And if Krishna is, and we know that Krishna did do that both to protect Arjuna, but he also did that to keep Bhishmadev's promise. How would Krishna feel? How would your friend feel when you know if you think that way, but if your friend actually, out of pure love for you, let go of his son and protected your son? How would that make your son feel, or your friend feel? How would he feel? He performed a sacrifice for you, and out of your humility, or out of thinking, well, no, I'm not that good. I know my friend loves me, but why would he let go of his son? So I don't really think he did that for me. It's, in one sense, if your friend, by somehow, it's better to err, to give credit to your friend, than to err of not giving credit to your friend. Your friend would be more pleased that even if he didn't do that for you, and by chance he saved your son or whatever, better if you feel that, wow, my friend did that for me. Thank you, my dear friend, you did that for me. Your friend would feel indebted towards you, rather than the other way around, not giving him a credit. So it's important in our lives that we see our lives, our instances that happen in our life, to appreciate, to see that how Krishna is actually acting in my life. He is the one who is doing everything, whether good or bad. If it's good, then it's definitely Krishna. If it's bad, that's definitely Krishna also, because he's just bringing us closer to him. So either way, it's a win-win situation by giving credit to Krishna. Any questions on this subject matter? You have to try to.
Yeah, I'll repeat it.
don't you shall be able to complete this. The young woman, do you mind, like...
So, in that pastime where Bhishmadeva told Duryodhana that he was going to kill all five Pandavas, so he manifested these arrows that were specially designed to kill the Pandavas. So there's five of them. And Duryodhana, because he, I don't know, maybe didn't trust Bhishmadeva, he wanted to keep the arrows. So he took them to his tent. And the story behind how Arjuna was able to get those arrows from Duryodhana was that one of Duryodhana's intrigues in the past had been that when the Pandavas were in the forest, he went with a bunch of friends into the forest where the Pandavas were, and they wanted to embarrass the Pandavas. So when they were there, Duryodhana was attacked by Gandharvas, and Arjuna saved Duryodhana from being killed. And so Duryodhana said, if you ever want anything from me, then you just ask. So he saved it till that point. And then I'm sure that, you know, Krishna was aware of what Bhishma did, so then he kind of tapped Arjuna on the shoulder, hey, now's the time, go take up that promise. So, you know, so many intricacies, it's amazing.
Any other comments, questions? Yes, thank you. Yes.
It seems that you were saying how whatever it is, good or bad, it's Krishna. And the people, it seems like naturally, it's much easier to see Krishna in good things than when bad things happen. I mean, I'm not asking for myself, because I have seen in my life that when bad things happen, Krishna did help me come closer to being. But I was wondering, what would you say to people who doubt this? Like, I've had several devotees tell me over the years, like, you know, they can't understand, they can't appreciate the devotees, and they would be like, how do we know this is good, and, you know, this is, you know, what would you tell to somebody who can't understand how difficult this can be beneficial?
Well, in one sense, nothing can be said except time. Time helps us to see things. Sometimes it's hard to understand when you're going through that, or even soon after that. Sometimes it takes a few years before we're able to look back and see, oh, this is why Krishna did do that. I see that this is why Krishna did that. But sometimes it takes a long time. And in some situations, people are not able to understand. So we just, all we can do is pray for those devotees, or for anybody for that matter. You can philosophize with people, but I don't think that necessarily helps so much. Do you have any other, you yourself have some? Nothing, I always find that giving examples of yourself or other people sometimes may make a difference. It doesn't necessarily make a difference right there and then, but it's something that you kind of think about it later on, process it, and then. Any other points or?
Yes,
please.
Good question.
Yes, sir.
What year did Sasha go to D.C.?
What year did he go to D.C.? Mm-hmm. Was it 73, 4?
And where did you
74.
End? Where did you end?
I ended up in Philadelphia. Yeah. The temple president happened to be visiting and happened. Krishna makes a lot of arrangements for a lot of things.
Was Jupiter there then?
No. This was in Ireland? Oh, in Philadelphia?
Not Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia? No. Mulaka was there at that time.
What?
Mulaka.
Great.
You can just say.
At the risk of blowing the momentum of the class, I would think, what is the matter with you that you didn't save your own kid and then report you to child services?
Is that who's Titi Mooney?
Who's, yes. All right, Steve. Even when you're not here, you can hear that. You got an answer for that?
Yes. Yeah, there you are.
And here's one from Kapil's class. Love this class, see? Krishna attacked Bhishma with a chariot and also created the arrows.
Arjun's arrows. Because I think Krishna let go of, I mean, Bhishma, they let go of everything and Arjun shot the arrows. At least that's what my understanding is. Okay. Jai. Hare Krishna.